Hey everyone, I want to welcome you to Hutcast. Hutcast is a pragmatic approach to several things that happen in life and happen around us. So tune in, check us out. If you like us, give us a thumbs up to Hutcast. Okay guys, here's what we got today. Today's the last day of this 2020 year. And I'll tell you what, it can't be gone fast enough for me. This whole world has just gone absolutely nuts. So in today's show, we're going to talk about the three percenters. Look them up on Wikipedia. See what those guys are all about. Second one's going to be student loan forgiveness. Should we? Should we not? And if we should, why didn't we earlier? And if we're going to, why won't we do it later? Next, solve your own problems. Okay, that's going to be a little more in depth. So stick around. We're going to have a great show. Three percenters. All right, so how many people know what three percenters really mean? If you've driven around town and you've seen somebody's bumpers, stickers, and you've seen somebody's window stickers, and they say three percenters, it's a three percenters that's got three columns, Roman numerals, and it has a skull behind it. Three percenters. I know what they mean because I'm kind of a pro 2A guy. I'm a pro 2A guy, and I'll tell you what, the three percenters, this story was inspired by a MPD guy, Minneapolis Police Department guy, who said that one of the guys in St. Paul. Now, St. Paul is a pretty big police force, and it's pretty huge. It's almost as big or bigger than Minneapolis. So this guy on his personal car had a 3% bumper sticker on her. This guy who is exercising his rights to do what he wants to with his property. Someone called in and bitched. Now, did they know who he was? I don't know. I don't know the whole story behind this, but I do know that it made the news and it made a lot of police, again, very unsettled with the people that they're protecting. They're putting their ass in the line for you guys, well, all of us, and the guys who even called in and ratted out this guy with the 3% bump sticker. So here's what I understand that this associate I know, I won't say names because you know what, this is very political when you start getting into this deal. He had a bumper sticker. He put it on his car. He drove around. Someone saw him. Someone saw him pull into the PD over in St. Paul. I'm not saying which one. I mean, it's out there if you guys want to dig for it. And called the bosses. Some snowflake called it in and says, that upsets me. Well, this guy got a big time ass chewing. Not even a little bit. For a bumper sticker on his own personal car. People, you got to pump the brakes a little bit and just think about this. Because now, not only can these guys not do their job, as in the incident the other night where they're in Minneapolis and this guy comes out and shoots at them, they got the body cam footage. I haven't seen it yet, and they shoot this guy for shooting at him, and he's dead. I mean, he's done. He's over. They ended him. And personally, if you start taking shots at cops, they're going to shoot back, regardless of what the political climate is and who don't like to be told what to do. The snowflakes, the millennials, the defund police people, the Black Lives Matter group, the Antifa, shoot at them. And I'll tell you what, politics goes right out the window really fast when you start getting shot at. Because for them, guys, it's life or death. You take pot shots at a cop, it's over. So this guy, this three percenters, going back on subject, the three percenters, an American and Canadian far-right militant group movement. Now, first of all, that's bullshit, because they're not a far-right militia group. So if you're in Wikipedia, you know, they call it Stickopedia, it is a paramilitary group, which is also bull. It ain't paramilitary. These three percenters are ready and willing to do what it takes and how it takes to do things. That's the original term three percenters came in. So it's not the guy with the plow. It's not the guy with the hammer making houses. It's not that. These three percent guys, those were the guys who were going to pull the pin. And if you set them sideways, they're going to make it happen. So the three percenters started getting bigger to the point where England, the king, and the monarchy really started getting nervous. Well, around here, all we had were the red coats and the blue coats. So really, the rule of law was minimal to none, except when it worked for them. So now you have, again, this history of we don't like opposition. We don't like this fascist anarchy. And it really wasn't anything. It was what our whole society is based upon right now. These 3% guys are equivalent to today's cops. And maybe many cops feel that they are part of that 3%er because they govern over us or they police us. I don't know. You have to ask some of those guys. Maybe you know a cop. You can ask him, hey, do you feel that way? But I'll tell you what, it's real. It's a real deal. And why shouldn't it be? Because you know what? When they go on these calls, they don't know what call's coming in. This George Floyd call, they had no idea what was going on. All of a sudden, bam, here they are in the middle of this crap storm on a guy who's juiced up on fentanyl, and everybody wants to feel sorry for the guy. You know, yeah, they should have preserved life. That's their first line of training. Derek should have preserved his life first of all. That didn't happen. Okay, now we have what we had the other night. So if you're from around the Twin Cities and you watch the news about this shooting of, well, let me put it the way the news put it, an individual who took shots at cops. They completely, including right down to the chief, Arredondo, and all the people that had to report on this, they tried to keep this calm and steady so that people wouldn't riot again. Well, if in fact they're trying to do this to bring you a story about what happened, a shooting. We've had how many shootings last year? 1,000? 800? And now just this one particular shooting, they got to get everybody involved, the BCA, and everybody's on deck right now. Well, A, that tells me it's a black guy that got shot, because they're keeping all that quiet. They don't want people up and riding. And you know what? They were right. It was an African-American guy who got shot. The passenger lived. There was no harm to her. And then what happened later that night? Out protesting. He wants to make sure, the police chief, we want to make sure that everybody's rights are well within their right to assemble. You want a right to assemble? You're at a crime scene, and you want a right to assemble? So they're so busy being politically correct that they can't be correct at all. It's that wrong. Now you got all these guys. So you got people got shot at. You got people got shot. You got people got ended, and you're in this soup of crap. Down in Minneapolis, Chicago, I think it was. And there's nothing you can do to calm everybody down. And they're chanting, what was that? What were they saying? No justice, no peace. I think that's what they were doing. So here they are downtown Chicago Avenue. It was cold, so I'm laughing my ass off because they're out there freezing their butt off, and I'm in there watching it on TV. It's all live on Hatebook. It's got all this stuff going on, and there are these people. Well, never mind that this guy shot at cops, and the cops ended him for doing something wrong. Okay, so that's where Arredondo brings the BCA in and let them do their job. But you got all these people who are at this crime scene. Who knows why? I'm sure they want to defend their brother, their patron, but it's still the right to assemble. But our chief had to calm everybody down when his public statement came out on the news. And I watched him do it, and I'm going, dude, how is it just after a particular shooting, again, another one, but this time they killed someone who shot back at them or started shooting at them at first, and you got to calm everybody down. Oh, wow. So you can't do your job. You physically can't do your job in the political climate in which you are employed by the city of Minneapolis. And you have to do this before this even happens. Before we have another riot on our hands? Again? On top of a pandemic where a lot of people aren't working? Well, if they're not working, they can riot. If they're not rioting, they can work. I don't know the formula there. I mean, whatever that formula is, if you got time to riot, go to work. Go do something. There's plenty of jobs still out there. The market's saturated with companies that need guys. So, again, people, this is just one person's opinion. I got a lot of friends in the PDs. I got a lot of friends in the feds. I got friends everywhere. I talk to a lot of guys, and they're all saying the same thing. It's so messed up. We can't begin to fix things in this society because so many people are butthurt. They don't like the 3% sticker, so they call someone to do a Karen. So someone shoots the cops. They get shot back and die. And then we got guys on the corner where this crime scene was. And, you know, this is all recap. This is all recap stuff that... Why are we even doing this? What possesses this society to just say, it's okay? Is this what happens when the kids don't get spankings when they get brought up? Is this what this generation of people have done? Because if this is what this has resulted in, a society of kids, of children that are now grown-ass adults who are out in the world, they're out in the world participating, engaging, and now illegal activities. Disrespecting the police, disrespecting others, disrespecting whatever they do, is this the product of our upbringing? Spare the rod, spoil the child. I don't know. My kids ain't shooting at somebody. They ain't getting shot. And when they get pulled over for a ticket or whatever they decide they're gonna, you know, do, they're not shooting at the cops. What makes this guy in South Minneapolis even remotely thinking it's okay that I'm going to shoot? Maybe he had nothing left. Maybe he was at the end of his rope. Again, the investigation will pull this through. But the guy he shot at was probably a 3%er guy. Like I said in the beginning of this podcast, Hutcast, they're going to act. They're going to do something. They have to do something. You are now a public threat. You are a threat to not only you, them, and everybody around you, around them, if they decide to pull out their piece and start lighting up the town. You got to sometimes just sit back and think, holy cow, where did this steer wrong? And as you know, if you're a conservative mind, you're gonna look at this and say, this don't even make any sense. You can't comprehend the level of tomfoolery here. But if you're on the far left, then you could say, well, this guy needed to get away. So, you know, I got to wrap this up. We're 13 minutes now, and I'll do a little bit of editing. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in. This is Hutcast, and stand by for segment 2.
For home and workplace comfort, we here at Dependable Heating and Air Conditioning have over 30 years of residential and commercial experience in replacing, repairing, and doing general maintenance on your heating and cooling equipment. Call the experts at Dependable Heating and Air Conditioning. For all your indoor comfort needs, we are located in Coon Rapids and serve the entire Twin Cities area. Call one of our professional technicians today at 763-757-5040. That's Dependable Heating and Cooling. Again, 763-757-5040, Dependable Heating and Air.
Okay, guys, segment 2, season 1, episode 3, student loans. We've had conversations in our family about student loans before, and of course, the ones who want the forgiveness, student loans, this is what this segment's about, student loans and forgiveness. The ones who have the loans want it forgived, but the ones who are going to pay for it don't want it forgived. So here you got the situation in life. Now, back in the day, when schools were public and you didn't have the parochial and you didn't have the private and you didn't have the Christian schools and it was everything was just a school, society took them on. Society says, hey, you know what? We should pay for this. And that's called public education. Public education means that this is a system in which our tax dollars, your tax dollars, are put out in the world, and we see them on our tax statements all the time. These numbers that go to whether you got schools and the kids in school or not, you're paying for it. That this money goes to a certain fund, and that fund is there to produce general education for all the kids in the community. Now we get to the point where it's forgiveness. Student loans are not a public education. Student loans or continuing education, they are a college, they are a tech school, they are an elevated point in your education where you want an advantage over the guy who went to public school. Now think about that for a second. You are going to spend money to give to an organization that's going to give you a financial and educational advantage over the guy who went to public school. The public school that we already paid for, that they probably already received as they were growing up. But now we're back to this public school versus private school. Private school versus college. And the debt forgiveness point. So I kind of look at it as, here's the gig. You spent the time going through K through 12, and we paid for that. Now you go through 12, K-12, and you're going to go all the way up to 4-year, 6-year, 8-year. Well, if that's the case, and we're going to forgive that debt, but you've already signed an agreement saying that, hey, I'll take out mortgages and loans, and I will pay for this because I want this advantage over the guy who went to public school, parochial school, etc. So when you took the loan out and you jumped into that school and you wanted to trade, you didn't stop to think for a second there that, hey, I got to pay this back. Here's where it lies this conversation we had with some of our family. I says, you know, you listen to Hutcast and you're not going to like this because I know what you want, but what you agreed to were two different things. And you know what? I love you to death. You're my family, but does it make you right? Sure, if there's an advantage there. Now you want another advantage. Now you want the advantage of going to school, getting a higher education, and not having to pay for it. And this is not towards my family. This is towards everybody who thinks that this is okay. And it's completely not. You couldn't be further from the truth to figure out what this free education means. Somebody's got to pay for this. And you know what? There's a lot of guys who didn't go to ongoing classes and schooling who are out in the workforce right now having to pay for it. So it's okay for you to collect it, and it's okay for them to pay it, but it's not okay for you to pay it back. Hold on. Common sense isn't common enough, again, in this situation. You borrowed it. You took it out. You used it. You pay it back. I'm not paying your bills. The U.S. government is not going to pay the bills for these people. And why should we? Why should we do that? What would be the point of that? Then the whole premise of the point of being an advantage, the advantage of having extra schooling after your K through 12, the higher numbers which you're going to receive in the end of the year don't mean nothing. Because it just, if you follow where I'm going with this, the K through 12 guys are working out there. They're in the tradesmen. They're doing whatever they're doing. They're journeymen. They're making their money. They're paying their taxes. Now, you're going to school for a living. You get to go to school and you get to say, hey, I know I took this money out, but the guys who are working should pay my way. Nope. Nope, at every level, because it just don't make sense. You can't make sense of this. If, in fact, you could possibly make this work, and I don't see how you could make this work ever, you would have to abolish anything to do with like the high-end schooling. You'd have to abolish what the Ivy League guy said, hey, we're gonna give X amount of classes away. The all these classes out there are just, that's the point of taking the extra class. So the guy who's in the trade school makes $50,000, $60,000 a year, maybe $100,000. And the Ivy Leaguer better be making seven figures, high sixes. Well, if you're going to make high sixes on our backs, what's the point of paying for it? Pay for your own bills. That's the point of getting the extra schooling. Well, it is if you're going to be into a decent trade that's not, you know, basket weaving or what do you call it? Social butterflies. I can't even begin to think of all the useless degrees that are out there. So this is one of those things in life where you just got to sit back and say, pay your own bills. Because I am absolutely sick and tired of paying bills. I'm sick and tired of paying my own bills. So here we are on top of your bills, paying yours. I don't want to pay your bills. You got a job. You make high six figures. You make almost a seven-figure salary. And you can't pay your school loans off? Maybe do what the rest of us did when we were going through school. You work days. You went to school at nights. And you paid your bills when you can. School bills. I remember that's what it was for a lot of guys I know. You get your setup. You get your going. You're working during the day. You're schooling at night. I'm debt-free. I don't have to pay for school bills anymore. We're done with those. But I'm different stage of life. You young kids are not. And be careful, you young kids. You guys who, if you know, you ever listen to podcasts, because you know some old guy on the radio is talking to you about this. The school can't wait to push stuff on you. They what I mean by stuff is they can't wait to get you into a program where you can blow all that money you can borrow, because there's no credit check. Are you in school? Are you enrolled? Boom, you get this immense amount of money. Oh, do you want a new car? Well, we could help pay for that. You want a new apartment? Let's do that too. Let's spend this any which way we can to help you do your schooling, except pay it back. Why don't you help me pay it back in the beginning by not giving me so much money where I actually have to work for my degree? There's a novel idea. Why don't you work for it? Why don't you stop expecting other people to work for your degree? I do believe in life there is some vehicle. And I mean by vehicle, there is some type of a schooling, like public education, that should be available for people. There should be something out there that is like a helping point. Not a giving point, a helping point. So the Ivy League guys are spending three figures a year on their education. The K through 12s are a free part of the system, and then you get the in-between guys, the tech guys, the 2 years, the multiple 2 years, the AAs, the And even part of the AAs are going to have some BAs that are going to be in there. Let's use that. Let's figure out how to bridge that to work. I know there's a way. But again, you can't expect everyone to pay for everything. Eventually, we're going to run out of things to want to pay for, and we're just going to stop paying. That's kind of my opinion on the student loan forgiveness, student loan who knows what. This ends Season 1, Episode 3.
Now a word from our sponsors. Today's sponsor in part by Excel Roofing. Excel Roofing, they do it all. Roofs, siding, framing. You need a house? Give Excel a call. I've used these guys personally in the past. Have a professional crew. They're conscious of your job, and they want to produce the finest quality of craftsmanship available. Excel Roofing, 763-712-0757. Again, 763-712-0757. Excel Roofing, Dayton, Minnesota.
Solve your own problems. And this is kind of a very, like I said earlier, very sticky subject, because it's very complex. because not every problem has a complexity of A's and B's. It's not a binary thing. It's not zeros and ones. There's shades of gray in this. And if you don't know how to handle your problems in the beginning, by solving them first of all by yourself, then you need the guidance of somebody else. And I mean by guidance, not solving guidance, but advice. I used to have this friend. And this friend was a grown-ass adult man-child. Plain and simple, he was a man-child. And he could function, but he couldn't function like a normal human being. And he couldn't solve problems by himself. He had to drag everybody into his problems. When he drug people into his problems, of course, everybody tried to, you know, give him the, oh, we're sorry for this, and show some compassion. And then one of my other friends looks at me and says, the problem's not the guy. This is where my friend said about my other friend is that the father needs a father. I didn't know how to think about this. I was just like, the father needs a father. Now, the guy who said this about the father needs a father, he was in his 70s. He understood this. He gets this. His father would probably step in and give him guidance, not solving his problems, but give him guidance to help him solve his own problems. It rang a lot of truth. I mean, this guy says, your friend, the father needs a father, because my friend is a father, and we're trying to figure out how we could make this come through to the guy who the father needs a father part. So we did that. We said, look, dude, if I were in your shoes, here's how I would look at this problem you have for solving it. Short story. He couldn't solve it because he couldn't get his mind wrapped around the fact that he couldn't solve the short-term, long-term effects of what his problem exactly was. And there's the point of solving your own problems. You can't expect someone else to step in. You can't expect the government to step in. We can go there on this. And a social worker or a parole officer or whatever their governing body is, who's going to come in and tell you how to do your life? Maybe you do need some help there because you couldn't do it yourself, so that's why you're in that situation, but you probably didn't think ahead to not put yourself in that situation. Pretty much, solve your own problems. I mean, confer with people, get their opinion, ask their advice. Hey, I know a friend. I'm going to start that out. I know a friend who's got this problem. And what do you think? Do it for instance. He does this. Well, then I'd probably do this or this. Without tough love or without some love, you got to have some conversation. Not much I can really say or add to that. But in a year of problems, and let me tell you, we all know this, 2020 is a problem. This year has been the craziest year I can ever remember, and I've been around a couple of years. We have problems with our governor. Some people say he's the best leader we've ever had. Good for you. Some people say he's brought us to fruition and he's going to protect us. How can he protect us? He can't protect us. He can try. He can throw his hyperbole out there and say, well, we're going to do this, this, and this, and my science says so. We're going to follow the science. That's what my governor says in this state. Whose science? Your science? Our science? That's a problem. That's a really big problem. How are we going to solve this problem? We're going to ask you to solve it for us? Because that's not going to happen. You can't solve it. You've never been in this situation before. You have no one to ask about solving this problem. So let me ask you this. During this solving our problems, let's say the pandemic, do you believe that this governor, even made the right call by shutting bars down, by shutting restaurants down. And again, if you think that shutting things off because you're afraid that you're going to get sick isn't going to happen to you, that's complete BS. Because you are not going to not catch this cold. Double negative there. You are not going to not catch this COVID-19 by not being somewhere. And we've all had this conversation earlier. How did it come out? Oh, it's not airborne, it's contact. Oh, it's not going to do this. You got to do this. And everything. And what was it saying in the beginning? Oh, this is 19. We got a vaccine for it. Now, magically delicious. I use that a lot because it's like magically delicious. We have a solution for COVID-19. I don't know if we do or not. And now there's another COVID out there. There's another COVID out there. Just after we roll out this test fluid for everybody else? I don't know. I don't believe in coincidence or magic, but I'll tell you what, this is neither. This is neither one of those. And all of a sudden, we've got a solution. On the end of the year, after the Democrats are taking over, we've got a year of pandemics gone. Or is it? So when we try and solve a problem that we have no common sense or logic to try and do this, all we have is hyperbole. We're going to start throwing stuff at the wall and see what sticks. How are you going to throw something at the wall and say, well, let's shut down all the bars and restaurants and health facilities and all this stuff? I can only imagine what this is going to bring in another year or two with all these people. First of all, we can't have a 3% bumper sticker on a cop's car without offending somebody, and now we want to come back and say, hey, we're all doing good now, we're back to work. Bushy. No way are we not going to hear the fallout from this yet. I don't know. I'm giving you a moment of thinking. Just think about the long term in this problem solving deal. How can you? Because really, I've never been in a pandemic before. You haven't. I mean, the last people were there in 1902 during the swine flu. I don't think there's too many of those guys around to talk about it. They might have voted to it, you know, but they might have voted in this general election, but they sure as heck didn't. They have no input for the how are we going to solve this? And I think most people out there can solve this by doing some basic things in life. Very basic. Very, very basic stuff. Don't get yourself in that position. If you think that you're in a spot where you're contagious, stay home. How many times have mothers and fathers let their kids go to school because they got to go to work and they're sick? Well, it appears you should have solved your own problem because now your problem's everybody else's problem because everybody else's kid is sick. How many times have we been in that position? That's part of solving your own problem. Stay your ass home. Sit on the couch, watch Dr. Phil like the rest of us. Tend to your sick kid. That's your problem. Amongst other problems that we have out there. This is just, sometimes you just got to hear it from somebody else and say, you need to fix your own problems. Your car problems, fix them. Or don't fix them. Or buy a new car. Well, then I got payments. Well, you got payments anyway. You're fixing your car. You're putting money in your car. That's a problem. Or is it? That's your decision. I'm kind of the guy where if your car is worth something, you should probably fix it. If it ain't worth nothing, don't fix it. So in this last segment of the last year, of the one of the crappiest years that we can, it's on record, of a problem year, how are we going to solve things? How are you going to take responsibility for your stuff? And again, the second segment just as important as the first, and the third in this end of the season show. How are you going to solve your own problems? Have you taken some stock in yourself and said, how am I going to undo this? How do I not do this? How do I move forward as a human, as a human being, and say, I can fix this, or I can unfix it, or I can not do anything and then have someone else fix it? No one's going to fix your own problems. You need to sit back and do that. Just take that minute, take that second, that hour, that whatever that is, your Zen time. Cross your fingers and ching your symbols on your fingers and just undo what you're not be able to do, or have someone help you do it, not do it for you. I.e., the title of this segment, Fix Your Own Problems. Okay. I guess it kind of sums it up. I mean, I'm running past 10 minutes on this deal. A heartfelt thank you to everyone who has downloaded this. We are on all major podcasts now, and literally all of them. And it was kind of a cool setup because I've never done this before as far as SEO or any type of, oh gosh, RSS feed linking. And I just learned a whole ton of stuff on this. I hope you found some of this educational. I hope you found some of this humorous. The website will soon be rolling up and rolling, but we're so busy at work and I'm still trying to do everything and get this podcast. It's a one-man show. So I'm trying to get everything edited and looking good and SEO and proper. And I just want to thank every one of you. And now, just as a hit, we got some data on the website itself. I'm sorry, is on the podcast. We're in like 8 countries now. We're getting downloads from Switzerland. We're seeing Israeli. We're seeing Australia. We're doing downloads. These guys got this tracking thing down. And Buzzsport is where my system is housed, all my files. They've got some analytics that are just awesome. I mean, awesome. So if anybody out there wants to start a podcast, read some books, learn some education, get this figured out, because it's, you know, it's interesting to see how other opinions are out in the world. And again, a podcast is basically an opinion, unless you're going to do a murder show or something like that. But it's you, it's the fans, it's the guys who are listening. It's taking your time to sit back and say, let's listen to Hutcast and see what he's rambling about today. And again, I hope you find it somewhat educational. I try to take a common sense approach, just like it says in the beginning of the show. And we really appreciate you doing the downloads. So tell a friend, tell everybody you know, and hopefully we'll get in Japan soon. That'll be kind of cool. Maybe we'll hit the Mother Russia. I tucked the comrade there. I don't know. It would be kind of cool. There's a Ukraine one now, but I'd sure like to see Russia proper. Thanks again, Hutcast 2020. And you all have a fantastic night tonight. As we say in the car business, drive fast, take chances, and have a wonderful evening. And that's a wrap for Hutcast. Hutcast is, again, a pragmatic approach to seeing things how some people see them. If you like our show, give us a thumbs up on the Facebook site or on the website that's just about ready to roll. Hopefully by the first of the next year, we'll have this thing up and running where you can get all the backstory and some of the research we did provided these podcasts/IE Hutcast. Again, for Hutcast, thank you again. Have a wonderful evening.